The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, all you Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Quark, and I am joined, as always, by my buddy and co-host here, Mr. Trey Hill, after a disappointing Chicago Bulls loss, Trey. Just not what you like to see. The Bulls were underdogs in this game, according to Vegas. They were one-point underdogs, and then once DeMar was officially ruled out, they became three-and-a-half-point underdogs. So the Pelicans are a good team. They are better than people give them credit for. Ever since CJ McCollum came over and kind of got acclimated, they've been able to win quite a few games. But still, you want to see the Bulls win this one, right?
Yeah, I had the Bulls winning this one in my head. I expected them to come out and get a victory considering the stakes and what the standings are at right now. And Brandon Ingram was out. And I really thought of all of the Pelicans, he would be the guy that gave the Bulls the most trouble. But that didn't seem to be the case there in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I'm just they've won 7 of their last 11 games. And now with this win, obviously tonight, they'll have won 8 of their last 12. So
they've done an excellent job building a team. We saw Herb Jones in that first quarter have three instances right in a row where he was, hitting the ball. Nance coming back helps. Valanciunas and Hayes playing together, having that kind of size out there, that's something that the Bulls, we just don't have. But a lot of teams are starting to do that. And I thought that it really showed that, Valanciunas had 19 rebounds. And, Hayes only had 5, but he was eating up so much space down in the paint that I thought the Pelicans really took advantage of the things that they do well.
Yeah, Jackson Hayes, kind of waited in the wings for a long time with the Pelicans, and now he's finally getting his chance to shine with no Zion. Obviously, Zion Williamson's still out. But, yeah, they have a nice core around Zion Williamson if Zion does come back. I think Zion has to be happy. I've seen, videos being uploaded of him dunking. Obviously, we saw that one where he was in that gym and did the off-the-backboard, between-the-legs dunk, which is, of course, impressive. But I think that they do have a nice core here without him. When they get him back, I think this is going to be a really, really decent team. So New Orleans fans should be happy. But Bulls should have won this, even without DeMar DeRozan. You've still got Zach LaVine. You've still got Vucevic. You've got enough firepower. Zach LaVine played out of his mind incredible tonight. What did he end up with? 40 points? Ahead of you, near 40. He ended up with 39. So, yeah, 1 point short of that 40 piece. Shot 52.2%. 4 of 11 from beyond the arc. 11 of 13 from the line, from free throw line. 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. That block was really impressive, too, that he got there. And 5 turnovers. So a few more turnovers than you'd like to see, but with the increased usage without DeMar there, it kind of makes sense. So I'm never going to put this on Zach LaVine. I thought he played as well as he could have played tonight, right, Trey?
He played excellent, especially in that first half. Him and Kobe White, Kobe played excellent tonight. Those two guys really carried the offense, I thought, with their shooting ability. And the rest of the Bulls just, it seemed like a big letdown game. Vucevic, he was okay. He ended up finishing with 16 points. He shot 7 of 11, so he actually had a really solid game by his standards, but I wish he would have affected the game a little bit more. He didn't seem to jump out in the second half. I know he didn't score at all in the third quarter.
I don't even remember him touching the basketball in the fourth. I think he did have a shot or two in the fourth. I don't feel like he scored a whole ton in that second half at all.
One thing I thought Go ahead. No, go ahead with Vooch because I'm going to transition out.
No, I was going to say, because I don't think he's like one of those guys, at least the way the Bulls utilize him, that is a focal point of your offense, that it's like it's to the point where, you know, if he's a star player on your team, if you're not featuring him on the offense, we've mentioned this before on this podcast, though. But if you're not featuring him on the offense, I just don't think you're using Vucevic correctly. So this is why I've been talking, you know, for a while about just getting a different player in there, someone that fits more with the Bulls' need from that position. Because I love Vuce. I think he's a fantastic player. I just don't see that fit with what we have, especially with just Zach LaVine. Because you're going to have to start thinking about life after DeMar right now. DeMar's, what, 33, 34? He's getting older. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be at his peaks much longer. So, you know, you can't run it with Zach and Vooch. We saw that in last season, and it didn't go well. So I don't like that fit. Go ahead.
Oh, I'd have to go back and watch and see what happened in that third quarter, because you can't have Vucevic come after he had four. I think he had 14 points in the first half. Mm-hmm. So having that good of a start, you can't have him start that slow. But to me, so a guy I wanted to shout out, Troy Brown Jr. came in, mm-hmm. and he got some good minutes, and he had that one defensive sequence. Stacey King even shouted it out, but I think it was actually Adam that shouted it out. He guarded three different guys and drew a charge on the help on the third guy. But did you notice that he got subbed into the game before Kobe or Patrick Williams?
I did not notice that, but I did notice he was in the game for once.
He got subbed in the first quarter with about 5 minutes and 30 seconds left. I think he got subbed in with Tristan Thompson, but in terms of like the guards, he was in before Kobe or before Patrick Williams. So I thought that was really interesting. A guy who hasn't been getting minutes at all being the first, you know, guard off the bench.
Obviously, DeMar DeRozan had to miss the game tonight. He was out with a left adductor strain, which is basically a muscle in your thigh. Billy Donovan did say it's been bothering him for a while. It's been just kind of a mild strain. And he went through shoot around today and just decided, hey, I can't go. I can't really have the mobility that I need to have to be effective. So if he's been having this for a while, I mean, that might explain, Trey, why he's been, you know, struggling a little bit. I feel like, the past couple of weeks, he just hasn't had his best basketball games. But obviously, that didn't have – it did have an effect on this game because we didn't have him out there. And the Pelicans didn't have Brandon Ingram and, of course, Zion Williamson either. But without – DeMar out there, you know, it just a lot rested on Zach, and it just made me a little nervous watching Zach LaVine, you know, go balls to the wall, for lack of a better word term, 24/7 throughout this whole game. Did that make you nervous too, him dealing with that knee injury?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A little bit, especially whenever he collided with, was it Hernan Gomez? I think that's who it was, but he collided with somebody, and I definitely didn't breathe for a second because I was just so concerned about it. But especially given the fact that we know that DeMar is you're going to have to give him some rest because he's had to carry such a heavy load. I don't know what the minutes are per game, but I know he's got to be up towards, you know, the tops of the league in terms of minutes played per game. So I think getting him some rest would be nice, but the Bulls just can't afford to have him sit too many games right now because they don't have the cushion in the standings.
Yeah, he's going to have to go as much as possible after this loss tonight. All the rest of the games obviously take on even more importance than they already had. The good news, Trey, is that the Cavaliers lost tonight. So that's good news. The Toronto Raptors beat them. Both of those teams are behind the Bulls, with the Cavs being closer to the Bulls in that sixth spot. So the Bulls do hang on to the fifth spot for now. And then the Bulls do have the Cavs coming up on Saturday, March 26th. And that's going to be a big one, man. That's going to be a really, really crucial game. And then they've got the Knicks and the Wizards. So Bulls need to rattle off some wins here. Absolutely. I was talking to some people. I'm in a Bulls chat. And I was talking to some people that are just really, you know, totally down on the team and totally out. You and I have been talking for a while, Trey, about how this schedule coming out of the All-Star break is more difficult than anybody else's. It's the second hardest strength of schedule in the entire league. Last I checked, it was like third or fourth or something like that. I mean, they got a little easier, but we always knew they were going to struggle a little bit here. It's obviously the losses are coming in bunches, and that's not something you want to see. But I still think, you know, I still have faith that this team can show out in the playoffs. Maybe not win a series at this point. You know, the first round series win is like the barometer. It's where I wanted them to get to be a successful season. But I don't know if I see that anymore. I think, you know, as long as they can push like a 6-7 game series against one of these better teams, which is the Celtics or the Sixers or the Bucks, I think I would count that as a victory for this Bulls squad, which really, I mean, that's kind of like the potential for me.
Especially if Lonzo doesn't come back. And yeah. DeMar DeRozan has played the sixth most minutes in the league so far this year. So his minute total is definitely up there. And at 32 years old, that's just a lot of time on those legs. So if the Bulls can get a competitive first round series out of, you know, I'm still hoping for that 4-5 matchup. Mm-hmm. If they can get a competitive series out of that, I'm happy with that going into next year with the idea that we're going to have a healthy Lonzo Ball. We're going to have, you know, healthy Caruso, healthy Patrick Williams. And we won't have to run these guys into the ground so much because we will have the depth from the jump, and we won't have the injury bad luck that we had this year, hopefully next year.
Yeah, speaking of injuries and bad luck and all that, if you want to stay on top of injuries, listeners, please take a moment to follow at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on Earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Yeah, go follow it now. Just go do it at EthosFantasyBK. And follow me, too, at BSBPKeith, and follow Trey also at Finally on Twitter. Go follow it, everybody. Trey, you mentioned Lonzo, and you know, I'm talking to some other Bulls fans, and you know, they're saying, oh my gosh, like they're like, it's an understandable reaction because you're rolling your eyes because you go, oh my gosh, you said wait till Patrick Williams comes back, you said wait till Caruso comes back, these guys are back now, we still suck, we're still losing games, you know, why is getting Lonzo back going to be important? But you know, you and I both know Lonzo Ball is more important than those other pieces. He is the engine that drives this offense, especially in transition where the Bulls like to score. Bulls get like 1 in 5 buckets in transition. They like to get out and run. That's the most efficient offense they can get, really, with Zach LaVine on the wing and with DeMar DeRozan on the wing and playing this kind of smaller lineup. And that doesn't happen without Lonzo. Lonzo is the engine that gets that running because he gets the ball off a rebound, off a steal, whatever, what have you, and he's immediately looking up the court, gets the ball up the court. We were timing it at the beginning of the season, how fast he would get it from, you know, below the other hoop to half court. And without that, I mean, the Bulls are struggling. I think Ayo Dosunmu, I'll point him out, against Jose Alvarado tonight. Jose Alvarado, man, he was playing defense like crazy, but we were struggling to really get anything going off of the, you know, the top with the basketball.
Yeah, completely. And Lonzo, he would help in that situation. I don't know how much he would have helped against Jose in there, because I don't know that Lonzo's a great half-court creator, but just being able to get out and run, get out in transition, that would have helped a ton. And people forget Lonzo is 6'6". He's bigger than Caruso. He's bigger than Javonte Green. So having even more size out there helps whenever you're going against a team that plays two bigs like Jonas Valanciunas and Hayes. But I thought the Bulls really lost this game on the defensive end, not being able to throw different things at that pick and roll, because the Pelicans, I know they went on that run and it seemed like, oh man, we were getting decent contests because we were fighting around the screens and trying to get back. But the Pelicans knew the coverages that were coming, and they were able to just dribble, you know, take that pick and roll, dribble into rhythm and get exactly to where they knew they were going to get to in rhythm. So to me, I think the failure was Billy Donovan and company. They started trying to do the double too late. They started mixing up the coverages too late, and the Pelicans had already done the damage.
Yeah, and you know, we can have a much longer conversation about Billy Donovan again once the season's over. I think he's still getting incomplete. Obviously, we got to see what happens when the playoffs happen and how the, you know, adjustments happen in the playoffs. That's the biggest concern, the biggest thing I'd be looking for here from Billy Donovan. But yeah, I do agree with you there, Trey. And you know, I thought
that now when I say this though, before we trash Donovan too much, I wonder how much of it is because Zach is not the best off-ball defender. You know, there's lots of times where we see the Bulls' defensive rotations are late or just completely incomplete on the back end. So when you double hard with Vooch, you have to depend on those defensive rotations being crisp and being correct. So that is something to consider, but I do think it's something worth talking about.
And honestly, Trey, I thought the rotations tonight and the defense in general was above average for the Bulls. I thought it was decent. I thought that they were getting, you know, hands and getting contests where they had to. They were giving up the right shots because it's the NBA level. You're going to have to give up a shot somewhere. Most possessions. Some possessions, sure, you might force them into a 24-hour, you know, second turnover or something like that. But for most possessions, you're going to have to give up a shot somewhere. You give up a shot to, you know, Najee Marshall, who's a 21% three-pointer shooter from the three-point line. He hits it. You bat a ball on a loose ball, and it ends up in Devontae Graham's hands. He hits a three. The ball really did not fall the Bulls' way tonight, and that happened quite a few times through the first three quarters. So even though that stretch in the beginning of the fourth didn't ultimately bury us to the point that, you know, we couldn't come back, just the luck was not in the Bulls' favor tonight. And we want to talk about the refs too. And I don't usually talk about the refs. I think the refs in general, I thought they were okay tonight. Honestly, I didn't think that they were like terrible, but it was really hard to understand why, you know, Zach LaVine wasn't getting some fouls called that really should have been called, especially Derrick Jones Jr., that one where Jonas Valanciunas came across his body looking to deliver a foul and they didn't call a foul. I feel like there's more missed on the Bulls' end ever so slightly that it was enough to be annoying and something to mention here. So just bad luck also was something to factor in here. Not going to place it entirely on that. Could the Bulls have done different things to win this game? Yeah, and most people want to believe that that's the case because we always want to believe that we have some kind of agency in what happens. But when stuff like that's happened, Trey, it's happening. It's hard to overcome, you know, just kind of the ball not falling your way.
Yeah, when you're not getting the breaks, the Pelicans' defensive pressure with Herb Jones and Alvarado, they just ramped things up on the defensive end. And then Hayes and Valanciunas covered on the back end just exceptionally well. So I thought the Pelicans come in with a good team that knows what they're doing. They have a good game plan. And whenever they get the bounces and things are going their way and they get energized and everything's going – They're a difficult team to beat, and I think it said they were 27-26 over the last however many games that is coming into tonight. So they've at least been a 500 team, and having McCollum as the guy who can come in and kind of be the closer in the last 7 seconds of the shot clock, that was huge for them.
Yeah, they started with, let's see here. They started with, oh gosh, this is not, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 of their first 13 games were losses. They started the season 1-12. And now they're fighting for the play-in. They're a respectable team. They don't have Brandon Ingram, so it's been a little bit of a rough week or two here without Brandon Ingram for them. But this is a decent basketball team. You can't sleep on the Pelicans. I don't feel like the Bulls slept on the Pelicans. I feel like they gave their best effort. They really came out on offense and played well. Defensively, there were lapses, but I thought they played well on defense. It is what it is. You know, this is a game that Jose Alvarado got hot at the right time and buried us. The bad luck, help them to basically stay in this game through the first three quarters. So even though the Bulls, I think on paper, are a better basketball team, I don't feel bad, like particularly bad about this loss, Trey. And what makes it easier to accept it is that the Raptors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, which keeps us in the fifth spot. So there you have it. Alex Caruso, I do want to talk about him a little bit. I felt like on the offensive end, he really didn't bring a lot tonight. He hit a few threes. He was 1 of 3 from he hit 1 3, so he's 1 of 3 from 3-point land. Hit a few shots, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Obviously the defense is always going to be there. He had 3 turnovers though, and a couple of really just questionable, I thought, offensive decisions when he got the ball in traffic, which is something that I've seen a few times with Caruso, and I don't want to like harp on the guy because I think he is important to what the team does, and I think, you know, it's not going to make me popular to hate on Alex Caruso because he is such a fan favorite, but there are some things I think he can improve on offensively. What do you think about that?
I think he's playing hurt also a little bit. Like I don't think he was quite ready to come back. They mentioned he was holding his wrist a little bit. So I'm giving him a little bit of a pass being the homer that I am. and saying that it's just the fact that he's playing hurt. And he gives that, he gives it all on the defensive end. We saw him get laid out a couple times tonight trying to draw offensive fouls on charges by just basically throwing his body into the bigger guys. So I do think that he has been limited on the offensive end. He hasn't been the threat he was before the injury. And given the talent we have around, I would like to see him be the spot-up shooter that he can excel at, hopefully.
Yeah, I think I think he's kind of playing a little bit out of role here, especially without DeMar tonight. So maybe I'm not giving him necessarily a fair shake there. So that's a good point, Trey.
And the defensive pressure tonight was intense. It was those guys really get up in your jersey. They force you into your opposite hand. And if it is a lingering issue with him, that is something that, you know, might have just been part of the game plan for them, you know, make him use that injured hand and see what happens.
And look, they're one of the top teams in the league in terms of like giving up points to the opposing guards. I've looked that up before as part of you know, bets that I place online. And so if you're a guard against this Herb Jones and this, you know, Alvarado, and just it's a really, really good perimeter defensive team on the perimeter. So that was giving them some problems for the Bulls. I definitely think so. But speaking of, I like to bet unders here, you know, on Thrive Fantasy, which is our brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100 plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. I don't know why I said it so slowly, but there you go. That's how I said it. So obviously, let me just take a quick gander at the standings here, Trey, because this is just the time of year where this is just important. Every single game, the Bulls are now 4.5 games out of first. Let me just refresh to make sure that loss registered. It did. Okay. Oh no, wait, it didn't. So we are 5 games out of first. Full game ahead of the Cavaliers, who are 6 games out of first. Play them on Saturday.
Yeah, we're also only 1 game ahead of the Raptors.
Also, yeah, the Raptors are also tied. They are technically in 7th, but yeah, they're both just nipping at our heels here. So
that Cavaliers, that play-in is looking more and more like it might be a reality.
It might happen. The Bulls have to start winning some games, man. I get it, man. I mean, I get that fans are fans, man. Fans are going to get worked up about losses. They're going to get worked up about wins. I had, you know, there were fans earlier in the season when we were playing well that were talking about championship. And I'm sitting there going, there's no way. I still don't believe it. Almost had me convinced. Almost. Now the Bulls are playing like you know, not great. And everyone's saying, oh, the Bulls are terrible. The Bulls are trash. The Bulls aren't a trash team. You know, good teams lose to other teams all the time. You know, we see, you know, the Brooklyn Nets lost last night to a not so good team. You know, it's not any single game. There's always a chance that you can have, you know, just some variance that's going to go against you or whatever it is. And you're going to lose a basketball game. That's just the reality of it. Your goal here is to win more than you lose. And our goal here is to stay out of the play-in. And I think, you know, that game on Saturday against the Cavaliers going to be a big one. What do you think you're looking for in that game, Trey? I mean, are you looking for, obviously let's assume DeMar DeRozan is healthy to go in that one, because it's just such an important game here in terms of standings. Who on the Bulls squad are you looking to step up here and help us right the ship?
I think Zach is probably the guy. Zach or DeMar, whoever Okoro isn't guarding. I think Okoro is their real defensive threat on the wing. And I think the Bulls should be able to take advantage on the other end, because I'm trying to remember who they've been starting. I know they have Mobley, Markkanen, Okoro.
Well, they were starting Dean Wade for a while, but I know he's been injured also. Okay. No, he's been injured now. So they're starting, I'll actually tell you who they started tonight. They started Kevin Love, of course. Darius Garland, Okoro, Markkanen, Kevin Love.
And okay, Kevin Love's who I was forgetting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I mean, of course, Garland. So to me, I think I think it's got to be Zach. Mm. Even Okoro's probably going to be on him. and maybe DeMar can take advantage of Kevin Love and Lauri Markkanen. But to me, if DeRozan was hurt enough that he didn't play tonight, I don't know how explosive he's going to be to take advantage of those guys, and them just being so much taller than DeMar, I don't know if he's going to be able to finish inside over them. So I really think Zach's going to have to be the star to take over. Who do you have?
No, I do think it's going to take a full team effort. I think for me, what's going to be a key to that game is getting the ball out in transition, because they just love to start 3 7-footers. So I think for me, it's going to be come down to like Caruso, Io, Kobe. Those are the guys I'm looking at here to really make a difference and an impact here, because those are the guys that, you know, we see often getting the ball out in transition.
Yeah, but you told me to pick one. If you could have told me, I could pick the others. Yes, it's going to be those other guys, because you're right. It's when you play against 3 7-footers.
Zach's important too. Zach gets a lot of transition buckets, so he's important too. He's probably the most important. You're probably right there. But I think
his ability to score from all three levels against, especially if they start to throw in the zone. I know they like to play the zone. Yeah. So if he can just break that zone by shooting them out of it, he has the ability to do that from anywhere on the court.
Well, we know that Garland is going to take some jump shots that end up being, you know, long rebounds. I need the Bulls to get smarter on that end, because again tonight, second chance points, offensive rebounds, killing us in key crucial moments. Where we need the basketball and we're just not securing it. We need to get smarter about that, especially that, I'll point to that Trey Murphy dunk at the end of the third that put them up one. That was just awful, awful intelligence as far as basketball goes, because the Bulls didn't even react to what was happening until Murphy was already dribbling to the basket. Like that, it was so horrendous to see, because not only were the Bulls flat footed on the rebound, but they also just gave up, you know, within a fifth of a second or whatever they gave up a 2 points. It was terrible.
I thought it looked to me they didn't even necessarily try to block the shot. They were just trying to block him enough to run out the clock, because they knew there were only so many seconds left, and he just happened to, the timing of it was absurd, but the athleticism to get that dunk over, it was Green and Derrick Jones Jr., right?
I think so. I know somebody came flying.
Two of our most athletic guys just coming in there and trying to make it as awkward as possible for you. And to still finish that dunk knowing the clock was running down, it was just – you're right to be upset about the Bulls' flat-footedness on the defensive end. But that finish over those guys, it's hard to argue when you have those two being able to jump and challenge a dunk.
Yeah, it was that made me angry is just the amount of offensive rebounds. I'm sure if I look at the back score.
Do you know what makes me angry about Trey Murphy the third?
What's his name?
My name is Trey Hill. Trey is not my real name. Just like Trey Murphy's real name is not Trey, it is Kenneth. He is the third Kenneth. So why does he go by Trey, his nickname? Trey Murphy the third. I don't go by Trey Hill the third. That's weird. I don't understand it. I don't like it.
He wants to make you uncomfortable. That's why he does it. The Cavs grabbed 10 offensive rebounds, and the Bulls grabbed 4. Not the Cavs. I'm sorry. I'm looking ahead. The Pelicans grabbed 10 offensive rebounds, and the Bulls grabbed 4. So once again, we get crushed on the.
How many of those were Valanciunas?
Three. Three of those 10. It was actually pretty spread out. Jackson Hayes had 2. And then there's one from Herbert Jones, one from McCollum, 2 from Trey Murphy, they got so much contributions from Larry Nance Jr., Jose Alvarado, Trey Murphy, the end of their bench guys. And, you know, we got Kobe, but beyond that, it's like, man, we really need some depth here. And then obviously getting Zoe back would help, because then that pushes Caruso to the bench, or pushes, Io to the bench, you know, whoever it is. So that would help a little bit, but man, we still need some depth here. I'm not digging our depth right now. Patrick Williams still getting up to speed.
How did you feel about Troy Brown Jr. and Derrick Jones Jr.'s minutes? I thought they both played pretty decent in the time they were out there. And going against a team as big as the Cavs, I'd like to see them get some more minutes.
I felt like they brought what they could. I thought they played decently in their roles. I mean, it wasn't anything eye-popping. That, you know, they didn't have a Jose Alvarado showing or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
But
no.
But it was, you know, it was okay. Like, they bided time while, you know, Zach was on the bench or whatever. I wasn't upset with it. I thought Troy Brown Jr. probably more impactful than Derrick Jones Jr., but Derrick Jones Jr. only played 6 minutes. I'm looking at this now. So hard to be impactful in 6 minutes or impactful enough that through one viewing I would be able to recognize it, you know. Let's talk a little bit about Patrick Williams before we end here, though. Not a great game tonight. He had 3 personal fouls. That's the highest stat he has. 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, no steals, 1 turnover, 1 of 2 from the field, 0 of 1 from behind the arc. I did see a couple. I think it was CJ McCollum was turning the corner off of a screen and roll, pick and roll, and he jumped out and sealed it off really well and kept them out of the paint, and then they ended up scoring on that play anyways. But I did see some, you know, nice defensive plays from him. But just kind of a ghost on the court right now. Do you think he's still kind of getting up to speed, or is this something? Do you think he's gonna get up to speed by the time we hit the playoffs?
Every time he had the ball, it seemed like good things happened with it tonight, but he only had it, what, 3 or 4 times the entire night. To me, I think part of it is getting up to speed, but he's always been a bit of a passive player. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think it's really on the coaching staff to put him in positions where he has the ball early on in the shot clock. Because, like, I remember, did you notice when he got the rebound and he kind of led the fast break? He can do things like that. He can make some pretty decent passes. He used to play point guard in high school. They talked about that on the broadcast. So to me, I think a lot of it is his personality combined with the fact he's just coming back in and trying to get back involved. So to me, that's something that the coaching staff really needs to emphasize, is getting him involved, getting the ball in his hands, and getting things going for him.
Yeah, like to see some more out of Patrick. You know, I'm still high on the kid. He's still very, very young.
It didn't seem like he had the ball a lot to me. Did it seem like he had the ball a lot to you? Was I missing him? Like,
no, he was a ghost out there. But I think
Tony,
you know,
Snell, like,
yeah, totally, yeah, exactly. I think his impact on the defensive end, you do see it sometimes. I want more. If he's a fourth overall pick, he's a guy that we're going to be building around in the future. Need a little bit more from Patrick Williams. But we're going to cut it here, guys. We're going to respect your time. We're going to get back with you on, it looks like, Saturday, which is in a few days here, when we play those Cavaliers. We absolutely need to win that one. Even more important now after this loss. But quickly before we set off, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. And until next time, guys, I am your host, Keith Cork. And you can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith, at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Finally.
And please do follow the show at EthosBulls. We're going to start doing some more stuff there, I think, sharing some breaking news and things like that. So at EthosBulls, if you want all the latest news, we're going to go follow all the best Chicago Bulls insiders and bring it straight to your dome, straight to your face every single day. So until next time, guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.